We're getting close. Genesis chapter 49. We have been looking at Jacob's blessings upon his sons. There are, every verse in the Bible, every word in the Bible is important, but there are some pivotal chapters, and this is one of those. There is a lot of prophecy here that is going to define the children of Israel through history, as Jacob goes ahead and blesses these. We looked also at Deuteronomy chapter 33, where Moses gives blessing on the tribes of Israel. That also is a definition of what is going to be happening in Israel's future, not only up until what we've seen in the Old Testament, but in the future coming for them at the time of second coming of Christ. But we have been looking at the fact on how do these things apply to us, because there's a lot of truth here that we can put into our lives today. So we've been taking the brothers and breaking down what Jacob's blessing is. The same way in Revelation chapter, the end of chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, lays out a history of the church through those seven churches. And these are very pivotal chapters to look at historically. So we'll see a lot of things. And again, I've told you on Sunday mornings, we are not going so scholastic that we're going to break down Israel's history and look at all this. We wanted to take more of the doctrine and see how it applies to us. Well, we're going to cover two very short verses today with two brothers you don't hear much about. But the picture here, again, is an amazing thought. And I hope by the time we're done, it gives us a little bit of zeal, a little maybe kick in the pants. How about that? Because the question I have to ask is, what do you have to offer? What do you and I have to offer? It's a tough question. We're serving the Lord. We're here only for a short time. And we have eternity in view. What do we have to offer? Yeah, and that's good. But I'm talking about as we are in ministry and out here in the world and the things that we're doing. What do we really bring to the table? Amen. We need to spread the word. So with that in mind, I want to look to these two verses. And hopefully, I know at first it's going to look a little like, wow, that was some great info, God. But we're going to break it down and take a peek at this, all right? So we're in Genesis chapter 49. And look at verse 20 and 21, please. 20 and 21. Out of Aser, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose, he giveth goodly words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, for these two brothers, down through history of Israel, these aren't major players, not like Joseph, not like Levi, not like Judah, some of the ones that will play a bigger part in history. But Father, what you have to say here, this blessing, Lord, as we sort of peel it back a little bit and look at this truth, it's an amazing call to us for what we can do. And Father, we got an important question here about what do we offer? What are we taking to this world? Father, religions and churches around our country and around our world put out a lot of things for this world, for the needy, for the unbelievers. But Father, what is really important? What really makes an eternal difference? What do we have to offer? So, Father, I just pray, we're not going to be long today, just two short verses covering these two brothers. But, Lord, I just pray that it would be something as a great reminder to us. And like Matt says, like we have written right on the back, that we would leave changed. Lord, we would have a little bit more desire to fulfill what you'd have us to do. Be with my mind. Lord, be with my words. Help you, your Holy Spirit, to use it to touch each one of us with what we need. Father, we depend so much upon you. So, Lord, again, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here we go. Look back. Keep your finger here. We'll be back. But Genesis chapter 30, verse 13. Now, when we've been taking care of the brothers and looking at them carefully, we go back to Genesis chapter 13 because this is the record of when these children were born and the circumstances, and we're going to look at Aser's name. Now, many of us, listen, in Bible college and when you study God's Word, there will be folks out there who will nudge you that you ought to study the Greek and you ought to study the Hebrew. Having a familiarity with it is good, but not necessary. Because God's Word generally tells us exactly what we need to know. Okay, so look back here. We're going to see in Genesis chapter 30, verse 13. Now, if you were to look up the Hebrew meaning of his name, you would see this exact same thing that we're going to see here in verse 13. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. Guess what Asher means? Happy. Okay? Now, if you look it up in the Hebrew, that's what it's going to tell you. But you know what? You didn't have to do that because God's word told us exactly what it means. As a matter of fact, it tells us another truth here, that happy and blessed are synonymous. So when we go to the Beatitudes and you read, happy is the man, blessed is the man, that. They're synonymous. They go together. So Asher's name means happy. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of folks in this world that are going for happy. As a matter of fact, there's a church that has been just coming up, popping up all across the country, and their desire is happiness. We want to make everybody happy. I'll talk to you later about that if you want to, but happiness is not based upon what kind of show we can put on in God's house. We get an idea of what happiness is right here. So let's look, let's break Asher down from this verse. It said, go back, told you to keep your finger there. It says, out of Asher, happiness, his bread shall be fat. First of all, that word fat means full. You ever do this? We're good at this on Sunday afternoons, folks, aren't we? After church, we go someplace, and most of the time by the time we're done, we say, oh, I shouldn't have ate that last pizza. Or I was good without dessert, but now that I've gotten dessert, especially if you go to the Keene buffet and you go, I shouldn't have had that third plate. Some of you maybe a fourth plate. Being full, okay, being fat, you are packed, jam-packed, there's no more room for anything else. Okay, that's this idea. Now, understand, he's happy because he's full. This is the picture that God is giving us. But full of what? What does it say? Come on, you're in Genesis 19 with me, 49 with me, verse 20. Stay with me. Come on. I almost came down on the floor because I want us to dissect this a little together. Okay, so he's full of what? Bread. Somebody tell me, we've been working on God's word and learning how to dissect it and everything. What is bread a symbol or a picture of in God's word? The Bible, God's word. Okay, what does the Bible say? Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is how God pictures it. And later we're going to see other food that God pictures, his word. So listen, Asher, happiness is based upon being full of the word. Do you see how easy that God's word, this picture is here? There are so many people in this world who look for self-worth and look for happiness and look for contentment, and they come up empty. Now, I could have designed a whole sermon here about fullness and being fulfilled. But I'll tell you what, you cannot find the truth in God's word about being fulfilled without his words, without the word of God. And reflects right back here to Asher. Happiness in Asher, out of him, he is full of bread. He is fat with it. To the point now, the second part of the verse comes out. Now this is a little bit more research. Not into Hebrew, but just looking through God's word, that it says, second half, he shall yield royal dainties. Why, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, God's word. What in the world does this mean? Well, I don't know about you. When I hear that word, you think of maybe, is the word pedophores or hors d'oeuvres? Little fancy cakes and things like that. You know, if the ladies go out for their women's tea and they have all these little, what do they call those sandwiches with just cucumbers and no crust? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, well, right. that is not what this means, okay? When you hear, because we think of dainties as something that's, you know, like pinky up and you know. Basically, the meaning behind this is good, desirable food. As a matter of fact, the root word comes from pleasure. And that's important because in other places you find this word dainties as stay away from it. Because it's the idea of you living for pleasure's sake. But here, there's something different. Here, it says royal dainties. Now, if I was going to define dainties, I will put it this way. What do you like to pig out on? That's what a dainty is here. It's not, you know, it's something that you enjoy eating. It, you know, okay, slab out the prime rib. Man, we're ready. You know, that's what this is talking about. This is talking about food that you desire that really is, you know, I don't know, maybe it's a pulled pork barbecue or, you know, I'm sorry, I my brain just keeps going to meat. You know, some of you, it's chocolate cake or, you know, like, oh, anyway, you get the point. But here it says royal dainties. God's word makes a very careful thing here, and that basically means it belongs to the king. So listen, this is what we're talking about. A kingly royal feast. Now put this in the mind of what we're talking about and how this applies to you and I and what God's trying to picture. It says, Asher, happy because he's full of the word and he's got so much left over that he's presenting anybody and everybody with a royal feast from the king. Now if that doesn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what it does. Listen, this is what our job is to do. I have in my hand, I will have in my hand, there, now I have it in my hand, everything that you and I could possibly need to fulfill what God asks us to do. It's all here. There's not a piece missing. And if I could take this book and do what God tells me to do and fill up with it and be full, all of a sudden, I'll have so much leftovers that I'm just ready to hand out to anybody and everybody that comes by. Know what our problem is? We take reading the Bible every day as a task, not as a banquet. Remember what God's word says? He said, I count this book to be more than my necessary food. Now, how many of you eat because you want to make sure that you can check it off every day as a duty that you had to do? You know? Oh, man. I got to go in the kitchen to cook myself an omelet. Let's get this out of the way. If I don't do it, somebody's going to be disappointed in me because I didn't eat today. Or pastor's going to ask me if I ate every day this week. Is that how we look to eating? Now, most of us go, all right, what's in the fridge? Especially like my kids, you know, they open it up, Dad bought ham! Woo-hoo! You know, they're so excited. Or you're like, what do I feel like today? I feel like going out. That's what I feel like. We're excited about it. It's something we can't wait to do. There's a craving and a yearning within us that drives us to go and partake of something delicious. And how about you? I love to cook. Some of you know that. Some of you know I also love to eat. But I like cooking for other people. Ask my family. I love cooking for other folks. It's tough now that we're down to, you know, Micah and Lydia sometime, depending on when they're working food. I was used to cooking for five. Now sometimes it's just Kim and I. And I make all this food and I go, oh my goodness, I got so much leftovers, we're going to be eating this meal for a week. Because I like cooking for people. There's something about, how many of you like doing that? Cooking and providing for people and people can sit down at a meal and just enjoy it together and you have a sweet time. This is what God is talking about in this picture. He's talking about having full of so much that you're ready to spread a feast out for others to take place. to others to partake in. And we can go to a lot of other verses. Remember the story about the ruler who sent his servant out to get all the family and friends to come in for a meal? And all those family and friends were too busy. They all had excuses. They all couldn't come. And he sends his servant back out again, said, listen, grab every stranger and person off the street that you can find to come in and partake of this meal. And we know what that's a picture of. It is a picture of us taking the blessings and the Word of God and sharing that feast with anybody and everybody. You and I have the feast of the King available to us every moment of every day. And we have the ability to get so full of His Word that it's overflowing and we can't help but start inviting other people to listen and hear and partake. See how amazing this is? One little short verse about Asher and we go, oh, he's going to have a lot of bread and make little cute things to eat. That's not what this is picturing, guys. Again, this is picturing having so much been fed till we can't eat anymore that we're willing to share it with other folks. Is that how we look at God's Word every day? Or do we look to God's Word and going, oh man, I missed yesterday. I better go sit down and read a little bit of it today because, you know, that's what Christians are supposed to do. I don't see many people getting up in the morning going, Christians are supposed to eat, so we should probably eat. No, you do it because it's something you desire to do. And if you get good at it, listen, I love recipes. I'm just talking about me. Let's just talk, you know, I'm human, I'm real, I'm right in front of you. Sometimes my family is a guinea pig. Because I'll see something and I'll go, ooh, let's try this. So you whip together this recipe and give it to the family and then you go, what do you think? And most of the time it's pretty good, but some of the times everybody's going, no, but you get excited. You say, I was just feeding and I found a recipe. I found something amazing. And you know what? You got to try this. I think it's pretty good. What do you think? Most of the time it's pretty good. Sometimes they go, I'm not sure. Do you see God's picture? How many times does God say, listen, I picked up his book and I ate it. And it was like honeycomb in my mouth. He desire the sincere milk of the word. And those of you who've moved on from milk, God calls it meat. How often does God use food to picture his word with us? And God has given us this amazing idea with this guy. You want to know Asher happiness? He was full of God's word to the point where he was ready to spread out a king's feast to whomever would come and partake. Wow. How awesome is that? So back to the question at hand. What do you and I have to offer? Now I'll tell you what does happen, and I don't want to diminish this because the Lord Jesus Christ did it himself. But so many churches, so many social clubs and things like that are so interested in meeting someone's physical hunger. Right? They have soup kitchens, they have bean suppers, they have all those things, which is great. Didn't Jesus feed the 5,000, feed the 4,000, and he healed and he met people's needs? But Jesus didn't just feed them. He fed them so that he can give them the bread of life, which we know is him. Remember? Jesus said in John, I am the bread of life. So if you and I are so full of the bread, you see this picture? Now be careful. There's a fine balance. We ought to be helping out those poor and those needy and the widows and the orphans like God's word says. It's very careful to say that. But it doesn't stop there. We ought to be giving out the word of God and worried about them spiritually. But if we're not reaching out and meeting people's needs, I don't think we're following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important to have both. But I want us to understand that giving bread to someone doesn't mean taking them out for a meal and then saying goodbye. We're talking about a spiritual bread. We're talking about Jesus Christ himself. We're talking about the Word. Jesus is the living Word. This book is the written Word. It's the bread. Asher was happy because he was full. Are you happy? I'll tell you what'll make you happy. And I got to be careful with this, but it ain't a pill. And it ain't a hobby. It ain't family. For believers, the only one true thing that will give you happiness within that you cannot explain is this book. It will satisfy you on a need. How many times did Jesus says to the woman at the well, listen, I'll give you water that once you drink it, you'll never thirst again. Jesus says to his disciples, and he said to the crowd, listen, if you eat my flesh, drink my blood. He's not talking about, okay, cannibalism. He's talking about me. I'm the bread. Get in God's word. Pretty awesome, huh? Here in Asher. But you know what? Hard to feed somebody else when you're starving. Isn't it? And a morsel of bread to a starving person, they're usually not looking to hand it out, are they? They're usually feeding because they're hungry. What would happen if you only ate once a week? We'd all be pretty skinny. We'd all be pretty hungry too. The key to being able to go out into this world and offer others that bread, that king's feast, is that you and I have eaten and are full. Every day. Maybe three meals a day. Is it something we have to force ourselves to do? I think sometimes, unfortunately, our churches in America are full of Christian anorexics, where they're skin and bones because they don't realize how full they could get if they would just take God's word, if they would just feast on this bread. And then they can turn around and say, listen, you don't understand. I'm happy. I'm full. Let me offer you something that can give you the same feeling. That's the word of God. Man, this is great. Okay, Asher, we're done. We're going to get done early today. Anybody have a problem with that? Okay. Naphtali. Naphtali, back to chapter 30, if you'd like a little insight again and just have a clue on, we'll have a Greek and Hebrew, a Hebrew lesson here again in Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, verse 8. And Rachel said, with great wrestling I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed, and I called his name Naphtali. Guess what Naphtali means? Wrestling. My wrestling. Okay? We did a deep Hebrew study there, right? Again, God's word so often gives us exactly what we need. Right in the English. Okay? Just read it and believe it. Naphtali means wrestling. There's a lot we can talk about here, but go back to Genesis chapter 49 and let's read this verse again. Naphtali is a hind let loose. I want to stop there for a minute. What is a hind in the Bible? That's one of those ones where dainty again, we're going, okay, wait a minute. We don't hear this very often. Let me give you a clue. Go to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. We know the bread pictures certain things. A lamb pictures certain things. What is this hind picture in God's word? Well, when you compare spiritual things, scripture with scripture, in Proverbs, God gives us a real good idea of exactly what he's talking about here. Proverbs chapter 5. Now, we know what a hind is, right? Just generally, historically, it's a deer, okay? A doe. Matter of fact, I was going to go, doe, a deer, a female deer. That's what a hind is, okay? That is what this, and as a matter of fact, if you read Song of Solomon, it comes up again and again in this context. Proverbs, I'm sorry, I'm talking and not paying attention where I'm flipping. Proverbs chapter 5. Look, if you would, to verse 25. Let's start there. Proverbs chapter 5. Verse 25, that's not it. Why do I do that? 5:18, that's why. I go into Ephesians 5 in a minute, that's why I get the wrong one. 18, look at verse 18. Yeah, that's right, okay. Just double checking myself. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. What is a wife of thy youth, generally? Doc, you call your missus this all the time. My bride, the wife of thy youth. Okay, keep looking. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe. What is a hind a picture of in the Bible? Your bride, the wife of your youth. That's what it is. Now, as soon as I said that word, bride, it should have sent your brain to churning. Who is the bride? The church. The church is his bride. This is what we are talking about here. How does this apply to you and I today? This hind, this roe, and if you go to Song of Solomon, beautiful book, amazing romantic book. Several times in that book, it talks about young maidens being like a hind and a roe. Okay, it's this picture of that bride. So, with that in mind, we're talking about the bride here. That's what this hind is. Notice something else here. It is let loose. What does that mean? Well, let's dig it up. You had a wild animal that you let loose. What also do you call that? You set it free. Guys, this gives me goosebumps. We are the church. Have we been set free? Somebody shake their head. If the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed. Man, do you see how awesome this is. Now, take into consideration, look back. What does Naphtali mean again? Wrestling. Now, this is a great picture. Look whose father is. Jacob. You remember that picture? Jacob wrestled with the angel all night, and he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You see this, the picture. He says, you're wrestling, you're caught, you're into my grasp, I'm not letting you go. You ever wrestle? Micah wrestled when he was younger. He only weighed about 60 pounds. You know, it was like the feather puny weight. You know, these kids got legs about this big around. And you watch them, they're just, nobody ever pinned each other. It's like 5 minutes of two kids just hanging on. But you see what God says? He said, yeah, your name means wrestling, but I'm setting you free. I'm turning you loose. Man, awesome. This is a picture of that bride turned loose. I know about you. We talked about it this morning in Sunday school, if you guys were here. We talked about the unfortunate sin nature that we are bound with from birth. And that, unfortunately, is something that you and I can do nothing about except be set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only cure. Now, I don't know about you guys. This is awesome to me. I've been set free. How about you? I'm his bride. How about you? So with that in mind, here's this poor fellow who was wrestling his whole life in the grass. Won't just, always struggling. God says, I'm letting you loose. And then look at the response. And I don't think we need to do a lot of explanation to the response, but I think it's pretty clear. Look what it says, verse 21. Because he is a wrestler that has been let loose, the bride, he giveth goodly words. That's the response to who he is. I've been set free. I'm like that hind, man, that young bride. I've been set free. I'm not wrestling anymore. I've been let loose. And you know what I'm going to do because I've been let loose? I'm going to go out and give goodly words. Brother Ken almost said that this morning in that exact phrase when he was giving a testimony about his brother laying in bed. And he gave good words. What is the good news? The word means it. The gospel. Do you understand this? What this says? It's just amazing to me. And again, please don't look at me and say, wow, Pastor, you did such a great job. It's right here. This is God saying this. How awesome is this? He said, the bride has been set free, and because of that, they give forth goodly words. What are you and I doing? Are you joyful because you've been set free from your sin? Are we pleased that someday we are going to see our bridegroom? And remember, and Ken can tell you a lot more about this than I could, the bridegroom and the bride are waiting for a feast. Matter of fact, in Jewish customs, this is a 7-day feast. Didn't we just talk about laying out the king's feast before? You see how these things play together? This is awesome. Because you and I are set free, because we are the bride of Christ, because of who we are, we ought to be out there giving forth good words. So my question to you again, what do you have to offer? What do I have to offer? We go out into this world, and there's a lot of things we can do in the name of Jesus, isn't there? But there is nothing more important than sharing His Word. Nothing more important than sharing His Word. You can give somebody a ride. You can offer them some money. You can bring them out, give them a meal that they haven't had before. You can buy them some shoes, or like they did during this winter, they gave the homeless folks winter coats and sleeping bags in the name of Jesus in this one church. And listen, all those things are great. But if we're not given the Word, we got a problem. What do you and I have to offer? It's God's Word. There is nothing more precious. So I got a hard question I want to ask. Are you giving the words of God to this world? Now there's a neat verse I want to show you right here. Psalm chapter 29. Psalm chapter 29. This might sting a little, because it stings me a little. Psalm chapter 29. Who's the hind? The hind is, picture that bride, the church. That's the picture, and it again, God's Word confirms itself on how these pictures fit together. Psalm chapter 29, there's an amazing phrase here, and maybe you've come across it before and not understood it, but listen to it in the light of what we understand this picture to be. Psalm chapter 29 and verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf. Now, give me a minute. What are we talking about? What is a hind calfing? Some of you farmer folk know what that means, right? It means they're birthing, they're reproducing themselves. They're bringing forth fruit. Now listen to that. The voice of the Lord causes the hinds to calf. Now if you and I are the hind, because we are His bride, and we're in this book listening to the voice of the Lord, there should be something that's happening in our lives. We should be bringing forth fruit. We should be reproducing ourselves, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? The Great Commission tells us we should go into all the world and make disciples. Every one of us, if we are not being discipled, ought to be discipling somebody else. That's what we are here to do. We are here to, the things you have heard of me, commit thou to faithful men that they might be able to tell others also. We should be bringing forth fruit. We should be birthing people in Jesus' name, right? The Apostle Paul says, my son Timothy in the faith. If you and I, as the hind, as His bride, because again, I can go back to this picture of Rachel back before chapter 30 when she has these children. You know one of the things she said? Give me children lest I die. Is that your and I, our cry as the bride? God, give me children lest I die. He said this hind, the church, the bride, hears the Lord's voice and it causes them to bring forth fruit. They have kids. They reproduce. So I'm going to ask you, and this is the stinger question, I warned you. I gave you a little enough insight to, we can all pull our toes in. Everybody's got their toes curled up so we don't get them stepped on. And I know this is not Craig asking you, This is me asking us. Who is here in this church because you and I have taken God's word and shared it with them? Isn't that what we're here to do? Look around at empty spots in the pews, or maybe full spots in the pews, and you ask yourself, I'm here to reproduce. I'm here to bring people to the Lord. I'm here to lay out this King's feast in front of everybody, take the word of God. Who is here in the last year, last 2 years, last 5 years? Because I have taken God's word and shared it with them, and now they are part of our church. I told you, curl your toes up. I'm curling mine up. It's not an easy question to answer. Now, am I trying to lay heavy on you, like shame on you? No, I'm not at all. I told you when we started that this we wanted to be this to be a reminder of why we are here. What do you have to offer? I've got to offer God's kingdom because of His word. Am I doing it? Am I so full of God's word? I'm so invested in it, and I couldn't eat another bite. Let me share it with you. That's the picture. We should be so excited about what God is doing in us that we get to sit down at that kingly feast every single day. And then we get together as a family on Sunday and make it even better. That we should be telling people, listen, you hungry? How many of you, if you won the lottery, would share that with anybody? Okay. I mean, I don't just mean money. I know some of you, my wife's got a list. She said I would pay off their mortgage and, you know, things like that. But I mean, if all of a sudden the numbers got hit, oh, I don't want to tell anybody. You'd be running around strangers giving them hugs and kisses. I just want $1 million! We've got something so much better than that, that we have access to every moment of every day. And we go like this. This is just an encouragement, guys, from two young men that we don't hear much about through the rest of the scripture. But God gives them a little bit of a... We talked about him judging Simeon and Levi for their anger and their murderous rampage. And these two fellas, he says, you know what? You guys are going to be so blessed that you're going to be giving forth a feast. You're going to be giving forth goodly words. What a great encouragement. How are you and I? What do we have to offer? There's a lot of things we can bring to this world, but if it's not this book, then we're missing the mark. Let's go out there because we've been blessed, we've sat down at the feast, and we've got so much abundance that we can't help but offer it to somebody else. Let's pray.